Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Kuf Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today we begin 3 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Vov. As you can see on your screen, we have diamonds that appear in the Gemara. These markings are explained in the outside margin under our Nosei Mivne heading. The Nosei, a topic, Mivne, a structural point. In this case, we've combined the topic with the structural description. We have written under the Nosei Mivne heading, where you see the diamond featured in the outside margin, Deois be'eze takolois nigremu ekev izahirus b'mayim rishonim v'achronim. There were some problems that were the outcome of lack of care with regard to the initial washing, mayim rishonim, the washing before a meal, and a case where there was negligence with regard to the mayim achronim, the washing at the end of the meal. The takolos, these problems that arose, are featured in stories, neither one of which appear in our Gemara itself. The story concerning Mayim Rishonim, Rashi here elaborates on the story that led to the takola, the problem. However, the story surrounding Mayim Achronim is not featured, not in the Gemara, nor in the Rashi over here, but you will find it explained in Maseches Yuma. In the last perek of Maseches Yuma, there is a rather elaborate story. So we will rely on your curiosity being aroused, and you can look into the Gemara there for the story. However, here the Gemara simply reports the outcome of the negligence. The diamonds represent, as we said, Deos. We'll see Ravdimi's version and Rovin's version. We also notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a Roman numeral 1, later on a number 2. That is, the number 2 is opposite the line where you see Reb Abba Masni. Rabbi Abba has a different version of what we will have learned till that point. So now let's turn to the Gemara itself. Ki oso Ravdimi Omar. When Ravdimi came, he traveled from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. And when he came, he told us in Bavel, Mayim horishonim he'echilu bosor chazir. As a result of negligence with regard to the initial washing, someone, a Jew, ended up being served and ate pig meat, commonly known as ham or pork. Achronim, negligence with regard to the Mayim Achronim, Hotsiu Esoishu Mibayla, resulted in a woman being divorced from her husband. Ki also Ravin Omar, Rishonim Hechilo Basar Nevela. According to Ravin, the problem that arose as a result of someone not doing the initial hand washing, he ended up eating meat from a kosher variety animal, but did not receive shechita. That simply either died or was killed. That meat is called nevela. Rashi points out that there is a difference between nevela and chazir in severity, in that basar chazir is considered a more severe violation. Achroinim, according to Ravin, the laxity, the negligence with regard to the final hand washing at the end of the meal, Harguas and Efesh resulted in someone being killed. As we said in our introduction, as far as the story surrounding the Mayim Achronim, that is revealed in Maseches Yuma. So we say, as Rashi does over here, you can look over there for the entire story. However, the Mayim Rishonim incident involves something that Rashi tells us over here. There was a store owner who sold meat. He sold meat to Jews and Gentiles alike. Kosher meat he sold to Jews, and unkosher meat he sold to Gentiles. From Rashi, one gets the impression this was a restaurant, someone who was selling ready-made food, both to Jews and Gentiles, as we just described. But it's a restaurant situation where once upon a time, a Jew came in, and he sat down to his meal and didn't do Netilas Yadayim. So the proprietor thought, oh, here's a Gentile. And he, when it came to serving the main course, the meat course, so figuring he was a Gentile, he served him pork. Well, little did he realize that this was simply a Jew that violated the Netilas Yadayim, that didn't do his initial hand washing. So whether according to Rav Dimi or Ravin, the lack of adherence or practice of the Mayim Rishonim led him in eating unkosher meat, whether it be pork or cow or kosher animal, but not having been slaughtered properly. The Gemara continues, Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok V'Simonech, in order to remember Rav Dimi versus Ravin, the difference between them, the Gemara gives us a way to remember, but before we do that, before we learn the Gemara, there's a certain assumption here, and it is, that Rav Dimi and Ravin were both travelers, and they both came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and it's well known that Rav Dimi came to Bavel before Ravin. So, being that that's the order of events, the following simon, the following memory device, will be effective. In order to remember that Rav Dimi, in his version of Mayim Achronim, simply said a woman was divorced, as opposed to Ravin, who said that she was killed, we have the following device. V'simonech, also Rav Dimi Afka, Rav Dimi came along and threw her out. Also, Ravin, Katla Ravin, came and she was killed. So that's a memory device in order to remember that first she was, so to speak, thrown out and then killed. Not that it transpired in actuality that way, that both things happened, but rather Rav Dimi had his version that she was simply thrown out, and Ravin had his version that she happened to be killed. But in order to remember who said what, so we provide this memory device. Now, another version is presented by Rabbi Abba, where the Gemara says, Rabbi Abba masni chado mehani v'chado mehani l'chumra. Rav Abba's version of this is as follows, that Mayim Rishonim was responsible for the eating of pork meat, and the laxity in the other story, where someone was lax in the Mayim Achronim, that led to the death of an individual. That's what's meant l'chumra. Namely, that chazer versus nevela, chazer is more stringent. That was Rav Dimi's contribution, so to speak. And the murder is more severe than divorce. That's Ravin's contribution. So Rabbi Abba, we'll say, fuses these two shitas, Rav Dimi and Ravin, taking one point from each one, coming out with his version that as we said, the laxity in Mayim Rishonim resulted in the eating of pork, and the laxity in the Mayim Achronim resulted in someone being killed, as per the story in Maseches Yuma. Itmar. The Gemara goes on with a new discussion. Let us glance at the outside margin before we go on. We see now triangles featured. So under our Nosei Mivne heading, we have a triangle featured, and we've written there Chame Ha'ur V'Chame Teveria. These expressions are featured in the triangles. Chame Ur is boiled water, Ur being fire, and Chame, water that heated up through the fire. V'Chame Teveria is a reference to the hot springs in Teveria. This is naturally occurring hot, heated water from the ground. And regarding this, we will see a machlokes Chizkiyah of Rabbi Yochanan im ksheirim lenetilas yadayim or letevilas yadayim. Are these waters acceptable for the standard netilas yadayim, where water is taken in a vessel, is filled in a vessel and poured over the hands? And tevilas yadayim, this is a situation where you have a mikveh and you immerse your hands in the water. So the Gemara continues, Itmar Chamei Ho'ur. This is a reference to boiled water. Chizki Amar Ein Notlim Mehem Liodayim. That you cannot use them for Mayim Rishonim. This, by the way, is an opinion that is in disagreement with that which we have seen earlier on Daf Kuf Hey. There, we saw that Mayim Rishonim, we saw it in fact in a Tanaic source that said Mayim Rishonim at the bottom of Daf Kuf Hey Amud Aleph, Mayim Rishonim can be accomplished through Chamin as well. So Rashi points out over here on Daf Kufov that Chizkiyah had a Tanaic status. He was a Tana, and therefore he had the strength to disagree with the Tanaic source that we saw on Daf Kuf Hey. So we continue in our Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Notlin Mehem Liodayim. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Chizkiyah and conforms to the opinion that we saw in Daf Kuf Hey in the Tanaic source there, that chamei or boiled water could be used for mayim, for netilas yadayim mayim rishonim. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Sha'alti Rabbi Gamliel, Benoshel Rebbe. I once asked the son of Rebbe Yudah Anossi, Rebbe Gamliel, the Oichel Taros, and he was someone who was very careful in the way he ate his food. He ate it in a way that he was always careful that it would be tohor, and that involved the constant attention to one's hands, including the washing of one's hands to remove any doubt concerning Tumas Yodayim. So he was a very careful individual. The Omar Li, and he told me, Kol Gedolei Goliel Oisin Kein, that the great men of Goliel do this way. Namely, they will use, even though they were dealing with people that were very strict in their practice, they nevertheless did use heated water for netilas yadayim. Chamei Teveria. Now turning to the hot springs of Teveria. Chizki Amar Ein Notlin Mehem Liyodayim. Avol Matbilin Bohen Esa Yadayim. According to Chizki, you cannot draw with a vessel water from the hot springs and use that for netilas yadayim. However, you can immerse your hands in these springs, provided there is 40 saw, it's a quantity of water. 40 saw is the known quantity of water, minimum amount of water that's kosher for a mikveh. So though it's not used for netila, that means drawing it in a cup and pouring it over one's hands. But as far as chamei teveria as a source of immersing one's hands, that is okay. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Kol Gufo Tovel Bohen. Rabbi Yochanan says that the use of Chamei Teveria is acceptable as one would immerse his whole body as one would in a mikveh. Avol Lo Ponov Yodov Veraglov. The emphasis in this comment is on Yodov. Rashi points out that the terms, the three limbs, if you will, the face, hands, feet, are often taught together in other contexts, they're all three are brought in over here, but our emphasis is on Yodov. So Rabbi Yochanan says that even though one can immerse his whole body in the Chamei Teveria to achieve purification that is afforded by a mikveh, nevertheless one cannot immerse his hands and expect the Chamei Teveria to provide hand purification. The Gemara asks, this is a little bit confounding. It's hard to understand this. He says, Ashto kol gufo tovel behen. If you're telling me that it's acceptable for an entire body immersion, ponov yodav raglav lo kol shekein, it would stand to reason that all the more so would it be capable of affording purification for one's hands alone. So the Gemara now, with Rav Papa, he comes to resolve the seeming strange comment of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rav Papa also offers his explanation as to the machlokes between Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan. So Omar Rav Papa, Bimakoman, and we have three stages or points that he makes, and we've numbered them, as you can see, each subsequent line, 1, 2, and 3. So Rav Papa says, Bimakoman dekuli alma lo pligi deshori. That means the chamei teveria, the water in the hot springs, if you're going to the hot spring, the spring itself, the water is still attached to the ground, it's still in the ground, everyone agrees, deshori, that it would be a sufficient source for hand immersion. Mishkal minayu bimona, to draw in a cup, in a mona, as a vessel, water from the hot springs, and pour it over one's hands, dekuli alma lo pligi deasur, everyone will agree, even Chizkiya, who was lenient, will agree that you can't pour water from the chamitver over one's hands. And in fact, Chizkiya said it when he said, "Ein notlin mehem liodayim." So everyone is in agreement with that point as well. That is, drawing water from the chamitver and pouring it over one's hands. And Rashi adds to this, "De kuli alma." Also, he says, "Dechitikun rabbanon tila." When the rabbanon established this whole practice of pouring water over one's hands, lav bechamin tikun, they didn't make their takona using hot water. Vani gri mechami, or this is worse than simple heated water over a fire, because shelo hoisa lohen shasa kosher. This water was never cool. As opposed to chamei ur, where there's room to say that you could use it even though it's heated, but before it was heated, before it was boiled up, it was regular water. It had toras mayim on it. This, however, was never cool. So everyone will be in agreement that to take the chamei teveria and pour it over one's hands from a vessel, that won't be effective. Ki pligi, the point of controversy between Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan comes up in the following, the paskinu bebas birta. Bas birta is a ditch that leads off of the chamei teveria. In the ditch itself, there you don't have the shiur mikveh. You don't have 40 sa'ah, but it is connected to a spring that has the 40 sa'ah. So can you immerse your hands in this, what's called bas birta, this ditch? Mor sovar, Rabbi Yochanan, who is stringent, says, Gazrinun bas birta otumono. We will not allow the purification in the bas birta, because if we allow that, you'll come to using a vessel. And we pointed out that using a vessel full of chametver, everyone will agree, is no good. Mor sovar, Chizkiya, who is lenient, says, Lo gazrinun. He will allow the immersion of the hands in the bas birta. Kitanoi. The Gemara now makes a point that lasts several lines. You can see we have a nun that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines form a point, form a long point. The Gemara says, Kitanoi. This is, in fact, a machlokas tanoim. The issue of the bas birta will be a tanaic controversy. And in order to see that, we have to go on in the Gemara, first opening up with a Tanaic source and then coming to this conclusion. So we have a source. It says, Mayim shenifsalu mishtias behema. Water that an animal would not even an animal would drink from. Water disgusting. It's called Mayim sruchim, rotting, disgusting water that an animal would not drink from. So, and included in this is also the water in the from the sulfur springs of Teveria. That's also something an animal would not drink. So now, water like that, bekelim psulim, in a vessel to pour water over one's hands from a vessel containing this kind of water, psulim, it will not be effective. Bekarka ksherin. If it's in the ground, so it will be acceptable for immersing your hands because it's no worse than a mikveh. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Af Bekarka Tovel Bohen Kol Gufo Avolo Ponov Yodov Veraglov. Even when it comes to the ground, it's good for body immersion, but it's not sufficient for hand dipping. And as we saw before in the Gemara asks on Rav Shmuel Elazar the same question: Hashto Kol Gufo Tovel Bohen Ponov Yodov Veraglov Lo Kol Shekain. If you're allowed to use the this mayim that's in the karka for a total body immersion and achieve purification, certainly it should be sufficient for a hand immersion. Elolav, rather, what is the case that we see in Machlokes Tanoim? The Paskinu Babas Birta Ubaha Pligi. It's a reference to the story we mentioned above, the ditch that is that leads off of the Chamei Teveria. And the following is the point of controversy. The Morosova Gazuna Bas Birta Otumona. Rav Shimon Elazar, who is the strict Shita here, he says that you cannot immerse your hands in that, because if you do that, you'll end up using a vessel as well. Umar Sovar, the Tanakama, who is lenient, says Lo Gazrin. We don't ban the use of the Bas Birta for hand immersion, because by allowing that, you won't come to allowing a vessel as well. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading that appears in the outside margin. Machlokes Abaye Verova. We're going to see shortly a discussion or a disagreement between Abaye and Rava, Behesber HaSefer Shomeimro Shrav Idi Barovin, regarding the latter part of Rav Idi's comment, where he says, Netilas Yadayim L'chulin Mipnei Srach Truma V'oid Mishum Mitzvah. You can see that we've dashed underline in our comment here in the outside margin the expression V'oid Mishum Mitzvah. That phrase, that part of his comment, will be explained by Abaye and Rava. However, the opening of his comment states that the need for netilas yadayim, the pouring of water over one's hands before a meal, is what's called mitnei srach truma. Rashi provides the background for this and says that yadayim have a before they're purified, they have a status of a sheni lutuma. Now, sheni lutuma, second level tuma, is something that has no effect on chulin, on common food. Something that's a sheni touches chulin, nothing happens to the chulin. The chulin remain tohar. However, something that's a sheni, if it comes into contact with truma, the tithe given to kohanim, the truma will become tomei, it will become ruined. As a result of sheni, which is characteristic of stam yodayim, hands that are not purified, we assume have a sheni level of tuma, that could ruin truma. So in order to get people used to purifying their hands before eating truma, the rabbis ordained that for all meals, even chulin meals, a person should wash his hands. So he gets into the habit of washing before eating. On all occasions, he won't forget, he won't mess up when it comes to his eating truma, when it has a real bearing, that he then also will be so in the custom to washing that he'll wash before the truma as well. That's called mitnei srach truma. Now, we turn to the Gemara. Omer Rav Idi bar Ovin, Omer Rav Yitzchok bar Ashian. Netilas yadayim lechulin mitnei srach truma. The requirement of hand washing for chulin, for common mundane food, that is in anticipation of becoming used to it, in anticipation of eating truma. You know, it's becoming used to the idea of washing your hands. So that since a person's always in the hand washing mode when he comes to eating actual truma, and this of course will be really the case for kohanim alone, because they're the only ones that are allowed to eat truma in the first place. So we're getting the population, including the kohanim, used to washing their hands, so that when they come to a truma meal, they will wash automatically, so to speak, and thereby not creating any truma problems. The Oid Mishum Mitzvah. And he also says there's The reason for Netilas Yadayim is because of a mitzvah. The Gemara asks, my mitzvah? What mitzvah are you referring to? Omer Abaye, mitzvah lishmoya divrei chachomim. There is a fulfillment of adhering to the mitzvah, the commandment of heeding the words of the sages. The chachomim are the ones that were mesakein, that instituted Netilas Yadayim, so that by doing that hand washing, one is fulfilling this precept of listening to the words of the sages. Rava Omar, mitzvah lishmoya divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. Rava says that when Rabbi Edi made this comment, the ode mishum mitzvah, it's the mitzvah of listening to the heeding the words, the teaching of Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. In a moment, we will see that Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch cites a pasuk to support the idea of Netilas Yadayim. So that as opposed to Abaye, who said that it's a straight-out takona, a rabbinic-based takona, without any scriptural reference or hint, Rava says that based on Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch's approach to things, Netilas Yadayim has a hint in the psukim, and it's a scriptural hint. Not as if the Torah is necessary, really commanding it, but there's a hint that one can find in the pasuk, what we call an asmachta in the pasuk, to, we'll say, justify the takona of Netilas Yadayim. So that's what the Gemara goes on to say. Dichtiv v'chol shiyigabo hazov v'yodov lo shotaf b'mayim. That's the pasuk in and of itself. Omar Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. We've dashed underlined his name because he is the focus of Rava's halacha. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch says, "Mikan samchu chachomis es yadayim min haTorah." From this pasuk, there is a hint to the need for doing netilas yadayim, the washing of the hands before a meal. Omar le Rava le Rav Nachman, my mashma. Rava asks, "What?" He asks of Rav Nachman, how do you see in this pasuk of V'chol Shigavo Zav Yodav L'Shalav V'mayim a hint or a reference to Netilas Yadayim? So he answers, Dichtiv. The pasuk says, V'yodav L'Shalav V'mayim. And he did not wash his hands. And the pasuk is telling us that this would lead to Tumah. Are we to infer Hoshotav Tohar? And if he... Now the question who the pronoun is referring to. So in the meantime, it sounds like it's referring to the Zav that was featured in the Pasuk. So are we then to infer, Ha Shataf Tor, Ha Tevila Boy? And if he did wash his hands, then the pronoun he is a reference to the Zav. And if the Zav washed his hands, he would be Tor? That's ridiculous. A Zav is a person that experienced a high level of body tumah, and in order to get out of that state, you have to go to a mikveh. You have to immerse yourself in a ritual purification pool, and simply washing one's hands, washing the hands of a zav, would not be effective. So when this pasuk makes reference to the yodav loshotav b'mayim, what is being referred to? Elo hochi ka'omar v'acher shloshotav tomei. This pasuk is referring to a zav, that's one type of individual that needs tahara, and the acher means someone else other than a zav, a non-zav, who did not wash his hands would still be tameh. Before going on, we have a topic heading in the outside margin under our nosei heading. We're calling this section Hanotel Yodov Leperos, one who practices Netilas Yadayim before eating fruit. Omer Rav Elazar, Omer Rav Hoshaya, Lo Omer Zesidayim Leperos Elo Mishum Nikius. The idea of washing one's hands before eating fruits is only for cleanliness purposes. Well, Savor Mino, the assumption in hearing Rav Elazar and Rav Hoshaya's halacha is there's no obligation, but there would be the fulfillment of a commandment, of a precept, if one would do it. In other words, one isn't obligated, but if one does it, so he's in fulfillment of a mitzvah. Amalu Rava. Rava responds, says, Lo chova v'lo mitzvah ela rishus. There is no direct obligation. If one happens to do it, he's not fulfilling any mitzvahs. However, he has a right to do it. Upliga de Rav Nachman. This approach is at odds with Rav Nachman, the Omer Rav Nachman. Hanotel yod of leperos eno ela migase haruach. He goes very extreme. He says, one who washes his hands for fruits, he is a haughty individual. So according to Rav Nachman, he would have no rishus. One does not have rishus to engage in practices that that demonstrate haughtiness, gaiva. So that is a machlokis then between Rava and Rav Nachman. Is there, does one have the option of washing his hands before eating fruits? Omar Rabba Bar Chana, Havikoimno Kamei de Rabbi Ami. Rabba tells us, I was standing in the presence of Rav Ami. Rav Ami v'Rav Asi, Aisu l'kamayu kalkolo de peri. It was brought before them. Served Rav Ami and Rav Asi a basket of fruits. And three things are noticed. Rabba Bar Chana notices three things, three points of behavior. One, the ochlo v'lo moshu yadayu. They ate without washing their hands. Well, that would be consistent with what we've learned till now, that there's certainly no obligation or even mitzvah in washing hands before eating fruit. Number two, v'lo yavu li mini, they didn't give anything to me. This is Rabba telling us that Rav Ami and Rav Asi didn't offer him anything. And uborach chad chad l'chudei, and when it came to their making the brocha, each one made the brocha by themselves. From the context of the Gemara, the bracha referred to here would probably be the final bracha. Shma minotlas. From this incident, we have three conclusions to draw. Number one, Shma mino ein nitilis yodayim leperos. That there is no washing. We saw that Rav Ami and Vasi did not wash their hands, so we conclude there is no washing of hands before eating fruits. Number two, Shma mino ein mezamnin al haperos. Mezamnin is what we call a zimun in benching, where one person announces, Nevorech shalchanu mishalo. And Nevorech means let us bench. You have one person that really, as far as the original law is concerned, he recites the benching, and others sit there and listen and answer Amen to his brachas. So that procedure we see is not done with when it comes to fruits, and it goes without saying that the standard zimun, the required zimun, is when you have three people that happen to have a meal of bread. In this case, only two people ate. That's Rav Ami and Rav Asi. Rabba Bar Bar Chana was standing there. He wasn't invited to eat. So it seems that they didn't have any interest in creating a unit of three people. Why not? Because even if they had three people, still you wouldn't go through the zimun process of one saying Nevorech Shachanu Mishalo. Nevorech means let us say the final bracha, and one person would lead in that and the others would listen. So from the fact that Rabbi Amir Vasi did not have Rabba join up, it shows that Ein Mezamnin Ala Peres and Ushma Mino Shnayim Sheochlu Mitzvah Lechalik. If you have two people that ate, it's best if each one makes their own bracha. Lechalik means to split up. At best, that each one makes their own bracha. Tanya Nami Hochi, the Brisa supports this. Shnayim Shochlu, mitzvah lechalek. Two that ate, it's a mitzvah for each one to say the bracha on his own. Bamed Mamurim, when is this the case? Shoy Shnayim Sofrim, when both are Sofrim, knowledgeable. Avol Echot Sofrim Echot Bor, if the two people who ate the fruits together, one was knowledgeable and one was an ignoramus, then Sofrim Mavarach Ubor Yotze, then the Sofer, the knowledgeable one, will make the final bracha, and the boor, the ignoramus, will hear it and thereby be yotze. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading, Ad hechon tzorach lagia hamayim benetila. Until what point on one's hand does the water have to reach in order to accomplish netila? Now, netila for what? So we're going to talk about lechulin, letruma, laavoda b'mikdash. That's netila min akiyar. Lechulin is the netila required for common food, the netila required before eating truma, and the netila required before doing avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. The netila for doing avoda in the Beis HaMikdash was from the kior, water that was in a special tank that was in the azar of the Beis HaMikdash. The tank had spigots to it, the spigot was opened up, and water would flow over the hands and feet of the Kohen prior to his serving. How much of his hands have to have water on it? We also have provided in the margin a little diagram of a hand where we are trying to emphasize the various joints on the fingers and also a reference to the wrist. There is something called, and you can see this on the chart, perek sheni, that's the second joint. In other words, starting from your fingertip, right under one's fingernails, there is a joint, and under that, there is another joint. That second joint is called perek sheni, and this is an expression you find in the Rashi. And then there's something where the hands join where the point at which one's fingers join the hand, that joint is called perek shlishi. Because as you measure from the fingertip, there are three joints. That's the third joint that you hit when measuring from the tip. Now we continue in the Gemara. Tonu Rabbanan, netilas yodayim, lechulin ad haperek, letruma at the top of Omid Beis, it says ad haperek. Same thing, it sounds like the same thing. And kiddush yodayim raglayim b'mikdash ad haperek. From just reading the Tanaic source without including Rashi at all, it sounds like the netilas yodayim for chulin truma and avodas hamikdash are the water reaches the same point. However, thanks to Rashi, we know that that's not the case. With regard to chulin, it said out of perek, it means perek sheni, the second joint on the fingers. Rashi explains that since this whole takona is in anticipation of truma, but it doesn't have any significance for the chulin per se. It's just to get people in a habit in anticipation of truma. So being that it's only, we'll call it a netila designed for habit forming and not for any direct halachic significance, therefore it's sufficient if the water covers just up till the second joint on the fingers. That's the area of the fingers that comes into contact with food. So we don't have much, we don't have a very strict requirement with regard to how much water needs to reach one's hands with regard to netilas yadayim for chulin. The next stage was, this next issue was the truma. One is washing his hands in anticipation of a truma meal. Then, as the Gemara says at the very top of Omid Beis, an haperek, that's a reference to perek shlishi, which we explained before by using the chart, the point at which the finger joins the hand, so that till the bottom joint on the fingers, up till that point, water must cover the fingers. In simple terms, water must cover the fingers entirely. Kiddush yadayim raglayim b'mikdash, the sanctification of hands and legs in anticipation of avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, ad haperek. That means until the point at which the hand joins the arm. We might refer to that as the wrist. V'chol davar shechotzeitz b'tvila b'guf, and with regard to interpositions, anything that would serve as a chatzitza, a blocking between the water, let's say the mikveh water, and one's body in a tevila, in a body immersion, that's chotzeitz b'netilas yadayim l'chulin. So we would apply the same standard to whatever constitutes a chatzitza with regard to tevila will constitute a chatzitza, an interposition with regard to hand washing as well. That's chotzeitz b'netilas yadayim l'chulin ubekiddush yadayim v'raglayim b'mikdash. And the same standard will apply to the sanctification of one's hands and feet with regard to the service in the Beis HaMikdash. As we look on in the Gemara, we see a series of diamonds, another one of our geometric forms that serves as a series marking. Under the Mivneh heading in the outside margin, we have written that these diamonds represent Deos Shoinois, different opinions, Be'ad Heichon Soch Lagia Mayim B'Netil Sidayim, how far does the water have to cover when it comes to the washing of hands for Chulin, for Truma. So up till now, we had a Tanaic source which sort of set boundaries. However, we have some now opinions of Amoroim on this topic. Omar Rav. Ad kan l'chulin, ad kan l'truma. Now, it's very difficult to see from the words of the Gemara what is going on. So Rashi points out that Rav is actually demonstrating, and he's showing on his hands till what point water needs to reach for chulin and till what point it needs to reach for truma in anticipation of eating a truma meal. So according to Rav, a distinction is made between chulin versus truma, and we saw a distinction like that already, that for chulin the second finger joint and for truma the third finger joint, point at which it comes into contact with the hand. Ushmuel Omar ad kan bein lechulin bein letruma lechumra. Shmuel suggests a stringency, namely the chulin requirement is the same as the truma requirement, namely even for chulin it will have to reach the third joint, the perek shlishi, the point at which the finger is attached to one's hand. Rav Sheshes Omar ad kan bein lechulin bein letruma lekula. Rav Sheshes presents a lenient approach, namely where even for truma it is sufficient if the water reaches the second joint, just like in the case of chulin. Omar Bar Hadaya, it's the name of a person. Havakuimno Kamedu Rabbi Ami. I was once standing in the presence of Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami, we'll just mention, happened to be a Kohen. The Omar and Rav Ami reflected the same approach as that of Shmuel, namely Lechumra. He said, Ad kan bein lechulin bein letruma lechumra, that even for chulin there is an expectation it reaches the third joint, the point at which finger is attached to hand, like is required by truma. In other words, he ups the chulin standard to be like truma. V'lo tema Rabbi Ami mishum de koyen hu. And one should not think that Rav Ami is stating this simply because he himself is a Kohen, and he therefore is, as a Kohen, he eats Truma on a regular basis. So he has to be extra careful, and therefore for him it was important to treat the Chulin with this standard of stringency, because it was important for him as a Kohen to be in the habit of doing the tila like he would do for truma, which was a common part of his diet. But one should not say that that's the reason for Rav Ami's stringency. Here is the Rav Meisha, the grandson of Rav Shuben Levi, who happened to be a Levi, someone who is not allowed to even eat truma. The Omar and this Rabbi Meisha as well said Ad kan bein lechulin bein letruma lechumra. So you have a non-Kohen also saying that chulin, water for chulin, namely netilas yadayim before a meal of common food, must reach the third joint, just like in the case of truma. The Gemara, as it goes on, is accompanied by a new topic heading, the Nosei. And we've written in the outside margin, Dino Shel Rav, Rav's Din, Noitel Odom Es Shte Yodov Shachris Umas Nalem Kol Hayom Kulo. Rav gives an option for someone to do the morning Netilas Yadayim and rely, and Mas Nalem means make a condition that I am doing my morning hand washing with the intent that this washing will enable me to eat a meal without an additional washing. That's the tenai he makes. In other words, he emphasizes his morning washing as being the washing for the entire day. So Rav says that that is something one can do. Rashi adds at the very bottom of the Rashi commentaries, this is provided he is careful in the course of the day that his hands do not become dirty nor tame. Omer Luhu Rebbe Avino Livnei Paksud Arvas. Paksud Arvas is the valley of Arvas. We call it a place name for our purposes. It's a place that there was an arid region. There wasn't much water in that place. So Rebbe Avino says to the citizens, the residents of Paksud Arvas, Kagon Atun Deloshchichi Luchumayo, people like you, like that are in your situation where you don't have a lot of water. Water is uncommon. Moshu yadaychu mitzafra, wash your hands in the morning. V'asnu alayu l'kuliyoma, and make this condition or stipulation regarding the morning washing to cover the rest of the day. Iko di amri b'shas hadchakin shelo b'shas hadchlo upligo derav. V'iko di amri afilu shelo b'shas hadchak nami v'hainu derav. We read that a little quickly, just to give a flavor of the how the reading should be done. Now we'll go over it. In viewing Rabbi Avino's recommendation to the people of Paksud Arvas, number one, third line from the top, the first approach to this is that the making of a tenai, of a condition, is something that is acceptable, but only under pressing circumstances, called shas hadchak. But if one were in a place where there's a lot of water, then this suggestion would not have any effect, would have no bearing, wouldn't be made. Well, if you take that approach, that the recommendation of stipulating the morning washing is only for a shas hadchak situation, a pressing case, that approach would be upligo derav. This would be at odds with Rav. Rav said that you can rely on the morning hand washing, provided you make the stipulation, even if it's not a shas hadchak, or a circumstances that are pressing. The second approach to Rabbi Avina, it says, V'iko diamri afilu shelo b'shas hadchak nami, that even if you are not under pressing circumstances, you could still rely on this morning hand-washing stipulation, v'hainu dirav, and this would be in conformity with Rav. With our markings, we've simply dashed, underlined the expression upligo dirav, and v'hainu dirav, hainu means he's like Rav, to show you the difference between these two approaches, where in the first approach, Rav Avina is pitted against Rav as being at odds with Rav, and according to the second approach, Rav Avina is simply reflecting what Rav himself would have said. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.